You're listening to For the Republic, a love letter to Star Wars animation.
There.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to For the Republic, a love letter to Star Wars animation. It is Andrew and Donovan back here again for our Bad Batch recaps. We're a little late again. We apologize. It's been a busy week, but we are here to talk about the two-part episode from last week, Infiltration and Extraction. We had some big things going on, a return of some fan-favorite characters, and some new mystery in this season aplenty that I'm sure we'll discuss in this episode. Before we get into that, though, let's just real quickly, right off the top. Of course, we're recording this on a Monday. So by the time this episode drops, we will all probably have seen the first trailer for The Acolyte, which is very, very exciting. But real quickly, we just need to show off this absolutely just incredible poster. If you're just listening, it's got the caption, "In an age of light, a darkness rises." And you have this lightsaber. And it's got, of course, a red blade, but it looks like blood spatter. It's so cool. I said to Don in, like, just before the episode when we were chatting earlier when this dropped, it reminds me a lot of Crait, the Battle of Crait in The Last Jedi, with just the red salt on the white battlefield. It just looks so cool. And then we also got a new synopsis for the show. Courtesy of StarWars.com. "In The Acolyte, an investigation into a shocking crime spree pits a respected Jedi Master, played by Lee Jung-jae, against a dangerous warrior from his past, Amandla Stenberg. As more clues emerge, they travel down a dark path where sinister forces reveal all is not what it seems." And I am so, so ready for this series. It's been, I think, both of our most anticipated series of the year.
Yeah.
So I'm just excited to see the High Republic in live action, man. It's good. It's a different time in the High Republic than what we're used to in the books, but it's I can't wait.
It feels very kind of like, the synopsis reminds me very much of kind of like Trail of Shadows kind of thing, with like a Jedi and an unorthodox partner investigating like a mystery. And yeah, like you said, it's just gonna be really awesome to see the High Republic in live action. You know, we know Vanestra Rowe is gonna be there. Who knows if they're going to work in any other characters from the books and the comics. That's going to be really cool. And I'm just really excited to get to see Leslie Headland's take on like the Star Wars galaxy, given her like
passion. Absolutely.
And we, the excellent cast that we've got.
Oh, absolutely. The cast is phenomenal. And as we've heard from the celebration footage from last year, there is a lot of Jedi in this show. And I'm guessing we're going to get a lot of the reemergence of the Sith, because this is during the time when they're
about
to reemerge.
There's no way that poster is so giving Sith vibes. I mean, it's such a beautifully artistic way of like showing darkness and the darker kind of nature of the show. But like, yeah, I'm really excited to see the Sith kind of intrude into this era, and like to see how we transition from the High Republic to the prequels and how we see the more somewhat compromised version of the Jedi. You know, I'm still currently barreling through like Cataclysm at the moment. I haven't got to phase 3, but it's just gonna be really interesting to see how like this squares with the rest of like the books and the comics and stuff that we've like already seen of the High Republic. Absolutely. I'm so excited for this series, man.
I think it's gonna be awesome, and I'm hoping that it brings some new eyes to the High Republic. And just be like, oh, same. Finally, here we get this cool show with a bunch of cool Jedi, and we get the Sith, and it's just like, it's screaming like, okay, this is going to pull some people in, while also introducing them to this awesome new era that they've been killing in the books, in the comics for the last couple of years now. So, I can't wait. I cannot wait, and I'm sure we'll be discussing it more for next week's episode. So later in the week, we'll talk about the Acolyte trailer, and if I have time, I'll do my own little recap video for it that I'll post on the YouTube page, and we'll go from there, and I'm sure we'll have a blast talking about it. But something else we'll have a blast talking about is one of our favorite segments here, and that is the Jedi Archives. The archives are incomplete. So it was an upset week, if I say so. Ron, I thought I had this locked up. I thought, with how many people were talking about it, and I thought that you had a very solid chance if yours gained traction, that it could win as well, just because who doesn't love Molly Damon? Who doesn't love Star Wars Explained? However,
they're the best, yeah.
Never doubt the power of Ewok Gospel, because Eli's pick from last week, the Ewok Gospel, featuring Billy Dee Williams, a relic of late 2000s Star Wars fan videos that I honestly didn't know existed until last week, is the newest inductee into the Jedi Archive. So our streak of having guests on and us losing pretty much every single time continues.
I guess it means we're really accommodating hosts. Exactly. Like, yeah.
They just, we open the door and they're like, here, have another archive vote.
We just make them very comfortable. Like, you know, here, here, enter your pick for the archives this week. We will offer little resistance, as it turns out.
Well, now this week, you got no choice. You got to pick one of ours. So, Don, I'm going to let you start off. What are we going with?
Okay, so in honor of this week's two-parter and representing my younger brother, Sky Chief, a.k.a. Anarin, I am nominating the granddaddy of all clone troopers. I'm nominating Captain Rex for the Jedi Archives, because at this point, who doesn't love Rex? You know, like, Rex is the coolest guy ever. Like, you know, we have covered this before on the show, but, like, you know, Rex coming in the two-parter last season, taking out that assassin clone, and just the journey he's been on, just in the show alone, is really cool to see how he's become this resistance figure among the clones, and how he's fighting with the Empire, against the Empire, sorry. And, you know, he's just an awesome character. It says a lot about this character that, you know, he made a cameo, a 5-second cameo in the Ahsoka show, and he still warranted a poster, because he's just that cool.
It's Rex. Yeah. Like, you need him to.
I could sit here for like 10 minutes talking about how cool Rex is and the journey he's been on, but I will just leave it at, he's Rex. He rules. He's my submission for this week's archives.
He's one of my favorite characters of all time. So yeah, I lost. It should be Rex.
I haven't heard of it yet, Andrew.
We're doubling down on clones this week. Had I known that you were going with Rex, I might've gone something different.
Oh,
but we are doubling down on clones here. Because my nomination this week is another character from this arc. My nomination is Nemec. Which one?
Nemec!
Yes. Which Nemec? The Andor one or the Bad Batch one? Yes. So the fact that we have two characters now named Nemec, they're both spelled differently, but we have two characters named Nemec that both died fighting early portions of the Rebel Alliance.
If I had a nickel, man.
I know, exactly. I want to know if they knew going into, like, making last season, like, hey, there's also going to be this character named Nemec in Andor. How about you change the spelling a little bit?
Yeah, I'm kind of surprised he didn't get, like, crushed to death, really.
I know.
When there was a landslide, I was expecting them to, like, pull his body out and like, show that he got crushed by the rubble. But no, it was a sniper blast from that assassin clone. That was
taken out by CX2. So,
oh.
R.I.P. We had everyone's favorite... what was the joke? Everyone's favorite secret crush? And then our new...
Human shield.
Human shield. He's got a great armor, though. Like, with the little... Like, the green strands, like, on his armor. It looks sweet.
Yeah, like we had a bunch of, like, rather minor clones in this two-parter who, like, had these amazing armor designs, and they get taken out. And it just, like, again, that's a really cool note by the design team that, like, they made sure to make these guys look really cool, so that it kind of substitutes in for their personality a little in some cases, like with Samson. So, like, when he dies, you actually feel something. You're like, oh, no, I liked him. He looked cool.
No, definitely. I think last season when we were talking, like when they showed Rex's clone battalion and there were like some new characters, we were like, have we seen them before? And like the fact that they've just like seamlessly integrated them into like established clones that we already know, like Hauser and Rex and Gregor.
Yeah.
I think it's been really sweet. And I really liked a lot of Rex's new clones, as we'll talk about. Unfortunately, not many of them made it out of this episode, but
Fireball was the one that hurt. For me, personally.
Oh, no. Why'd they take him from us? I just remember last season we were like, oh, that's a cool name.
Like he went out literally the way his name entailed in a fireball. Just like Matchstick all over again.
Stop this right now, Jennifer Corbett and Brad Rauman. I need you to stop. So yeah, those are our nominations. Very clone heavy this week. We have Captain Rex, the one and only. And of course, we have Nemec. Which one you decide, I guess. So we will be having a Twitter poll shortly after this episode drops. You can head over there, twitter.com/ForTheRepubPod, and you can pick your favorite between those two and see what is the newest inductee in the archives. Now we get into the two-parter episode, and we really start right off the bat, picking right back up into the last time we saw Rex's clones. And it's awesome that he's still working with Senator Chuchi, and the fact that they still have these rogue clones on their tail, and the fact that they call them shadows, and that they still, like, where we saw them with the two-parter in the middle of last season is kind of where they're still in the middle of, where they're trying to get more senators to their cause while they're being chased by these assassin clones. I like that we're just immediately picking back up with Rex, and the stakes feel very high. And it was also nice to see Senator Singh again, the Rax senator. His episode back in season one, I wasn't huge on, but again, it's like all these like middle tier episodes that when we watch, it's like, eh, that was okay. They're becoming more and more important as the series keeps going, just because this show loves to do not only Clone Wars stuff, but it loves to do another Dave Filoni project, Avatar The Last Airbender. Well, they'll introduce minor characters early on, and then they'll bring them back like two seasons later. And it's like, oh my God, you're that guy from the from that episode. So
yeah,
we're getting a lot of that. Exactly.
Yeah.
A lot of people have said that, I think it was Alex Damon, actually, that was talking about how this season is very much giving final season vibes just from, hey, this location's coming back, or hey, this character's coming back. And we see that big time in this episode, especially a location that is very prominent that someone here called last week. But we will definitely get to that. They are tailed by the clone assassin, but they're able to stun him, and they're able to capture him. And thankfully, it doesn't go the way that last time happened, where they capture him and then he immediately just uses the electro tooth and boom, that's it. We don't have any answers. So
nice try.
They're like somewhat able to ask him questions, but he still is barely budging. And I think he says one or two things.
Just sulks in his chair like the whole episode, basically.
So what did you think of this little opening part of the episode?
I agree with you. I really liked it a lot. Like, I think it was really cool to pick us back up with Rex, as you said, and Senator Singh and Senator Chuchi. And I saw it also articulated on Twitter about how it's really cool to finally get a scene between a separatist and a Republic senator, just kind of like saying, you know, we have a common enemy now, just kind of like confirming that, yes, you know, the remainder of the separatists and those in the Republic that don't care for the Empire, they did join together, and that's sort of the early beginnings of the Rebel Alliance. But other than that, the opening was really cool too, and I'm glad that Rex was able to protect them both. I thought for sure Senator Singh was done for in that opening, but thankfully not. I also like how we got a little bit of misdirection as well, because we've been speculating about that the assassin clone all series so far, like for the first half of this season. And then when that clone popped up, I thought, oh, that's the same clone. And then when he got unmasked, I felt a twinge of disappointment that it was just a reg, basically, who'd been brainwashed, which sets us up for the unexpected appearance of another clone, which we now know is CX2. And boy, do we have some theories about him.
Sure. Yeah, we're gonna have everyone's favorite game show later on when we talk about CX2.
CX2?
Who is this guy?
Step up to the podium, take a guess.
I was right with you. I thought Singh was a goner. I thought big way to get you right into the episode is he's taken out by this assassin. These damn assassins keep getting in the way. I think this is the first time. You know, Rex, his armor is a bit different in these episodes. He doesn't have like the shoulder padding normally. Was that the same in season two, or is this the first time we've seen him with this new updated look?
First time, because he had his full armor in season one, and then for season two, he actually didn't appear in his armor. He just had the kind of like stripped down look with the cloak for the two-parter. So I was kind of in thinking, oh, is he just not going to wear the armor anymore? But it was kind of cool to see that he's just like the Batch. His armor's going through some wear and tear now. And he's still a badass. Like
the whole
the bit
episode,
where
I was like, he rolled is and just something different? It. Like I didn't even like I couldn't even like, oh yeah, the shoulder pad's not there. I was like, is something like it feels like it's new, but I can't tell. And then I saw the like they had a side by side of all Rex's armor. And I was like, oh yeah, it is different. Like so I like that, like you said, that his armor is evolving and it's going through the wear and tear. And just what the age of the Empire is doing to all of these clones as they're interrogating the clone, and he has this little like chip tag thing on him, and they're able to decode it, and they see that Omega is one of the Empire's targets. So like, boom, we have to contact the Batch, and we see them meet up with the Batch again. When we see them arrive, we see that they are based on Teth, which we get to see the Teth Monastery from the Clone Wars movie, really tying it back together to the literal first story we saw with the clone troopers in the Clone Wars show. Really just showing that this is not only, like we said, the end of the Bad Batch, which, why? Like, give us, it's too early. But also that we're wrapping up this whole Clone Wars era, going back to one of the first locations we see in Star Wars animation. And someone, this guy over here, called it last week that you said that their base might have been on Teth, and what do you know, it was.
I mean, I was sort of right and wrong in that, like, I was right that it was their base. I thought it was going to be like where the finale was going to be, and we've already evacuated that place, so it was really cool to see like my expectations be rewarded and upended at the same time.
That monastery is gone now. It blew up.
It was something really sad about seeing it all just like worn down, like all the rubble collapsed and everything. And the planet looked incredible. The fact that the animation has progressed so much that they can now have all of the jungle highlighted below the like stone pillar, it really looked amazing. And it adds to the kind of somber feeling of this season, like that we are seeing kind of like these remaining elements of the Clone Wars show slowly crumbling as like the clones make their last stand, essentially. Yeah,
absolutely. It was just one of those things where I saw, I'm like, oh my God, it's Teth. Like, we're back. And it was really cool to see. And like you said, it is kind of hard to like see it in this state, but it looks great, man. It looks
it does.
So great. Like how far we've come since we saw it for the first time in 2008, where the budget wasn't that great. And now we see it here and it looks fantastic. I do wish we got a little bit of like throwbacks to Kevin Kiner's score when we went to Teth in the Clone Wars movie, just because those tracks are some of my favorite things that he did on the soundtrack in that movie. But we see as they're getting there, we see Echo. He drops the Batch off and then he's got to go do his own little thing, rendezvous with Gregor. If only you didn't leave, buddy. If only you didn't leave. Stuff's about to go down. But he gives Omega the energy crossbow that we saw in the poster for the season. And it looks great. I think it's just further and further progression of Omega's armor getting and weapons getting progressively more and more badass. Going from the crossbow she already has, which is really sweet, to now this sick-looking bright yellow energy crossbow. I think or was it green? One of the two.
It was one of the two. I think it might have been green, but I'm not sure. Like I couldn't quite tell, but it's a really cool weapon. I thought it was going to be maybe a gift from Ventress, like some people have been speculating, but I love that Echo gifted it to her. Like it was a cool bit of interaction.
Okay. I think it's like a neon green looking at the picture now. So I was wrong, but it's sweet looking and it's just a really cool looking Star Wars weapon. And I think the Ventress, that would have been sweet. And so would have Fennec giving her that just because of the history that they have. But I also love the fact
coming,
that
so
I love. Yeah, I think she's coming in the next couple episodes. So it'll be very interesting to see that. But I like the fact that it's Echo because they formed that connection last season. It's like, oh, I ran into some strange characters out there. And it's like he got it off of one of them. I think that's just kind of funny. And every time they interact, I think it's so wholesome, and I love it. What isn't wholesome is the way that some of these clones in Rex's battalion are treating Crosshair. Because especially Hauser. Hauser has it out for this guy. He's like, wait a minute. You're the clone from Ryloth that screwed my whole thing over. You're the reason I was in jail. So obviously he's got some anger and a grudge against Crosshair because he doesn't believe that he's fully against the Empire because they don't have all the facts. And we obviously knew that a large portion of Crosshair's early interactions with not only the Batch, but the other clones and the other people fighting against the Empire would be wary of the guy that for two seasons was with the people that they're trying to take down. And he betrayed some of them, obviously, but we know that he's trustworthy. And I just find it so, I guess, heartwarming, but funny at the same time that last week Hunter was all up in Crosshair's business. And now this week, the moment like Hauser goes after him, Hunter's like, you back the fuck off right now. Like, that's my brother you're talking to.
Yeah, like it was a nice little bit of writing from Hunter that he was kind of protective of Crosshair. But I also kind of like, I get completely where Hauser's coming. I feel like if anyone was going to be a little bit up in Crosshair's grill, other than Hunter, maybe it was going to be Hauser. Because Hauser did, as you said, he suffered kind of a bit from how Crosshair was behaving from Crosshair's loyalty to the Empire. And I really like that this two-parter kind of like is a trial for Crosshair in a way. Well, because he still is going through adjusting to like being back with the Batch and stuff. You know, we've got the heartwarming stuff like his interaction with Omega, but we've also got signs still that he is struggling. He's got the Tremor still in his hand. He is facing understandable like criticism from the other clones, you know, who don't trust him. It's a really interesting thing. Again, like we don't usually see this in Star Wars. We don't usually see a reformed character, aside from maybe Kallus, join the good guys and have to earn their trust back, especially when it's such a personal connection. Because Kallus was just kind of a random enemy in a sense to the Ghost Crew. Like he had a sort of personal connection to Zeb, but it was more just a case of mistaken identity. Whereas, you know, Crosshair is like is literally their brother. They know this guy, and it's such a personal betrayal compared to like any other character like Kallus. So I really liked Crosshair's arc in this. I liked how Crosshair, again, he's kind of standoffish, but he keeps proving himself over and over again throughout this two-parter. And you know, I love that he's got this dynamic with Omega, you know, her doing her mimicking him with the toothpick. And then their later interaction as well, where he's basically saying, You have your weapon, be careful of the terrain. And then she says to him, you're worse than Hunter. And he gives my favorite Crosshair line, oh, I'm much worse.
Yeah.
You could tell he was smiling under that helmet.
Instant all-timer. Like, I love the fact that we're at the banter stage with these two. I just, every single like interaction they have is great. And someone pointed out like a collage of Omega hugging every member of the Batch. I'm like, we don't have the Crosshair one yet. And when tears will be shed. But yeah, they're all up in Crosshair's business, and they are kind of telling the Empire, I mean, not the Empire, they're telling the clones what they know, but Crosshair is still being a little bit wary. Like, we still have to force a lot of stuff out of Crosshair, but Omega's talking about how they were testing the blood samples and they were looking for M counts and rest of the M count. And like, I like the mystery of, they have this term, so they at least know what that is, but they don't know what it is quite yet.
Yeah.
Which makes me think, like, were the clones not familiar with the concept of midichlorians? Like, is that not a galactic-wide thing that's known?
I don't think so. I think
just the Jedi know about, I guess, the Sith as well.
I guess it's a little bit of that, but I think it's also as well like the fact that Lucasfilm is maybe being a little bit, you know, canny with the fact that the midichlorians were meant to be this bigger thing in Star Wars, and then George kind of wound up downplaying them a bit after they got criticism their introduction was criticized in The Phantom Menace and the way it was like worded and stuff. Like, there was a lot of people who kind of misconstrued it back then, myself included. And I get why it's been kind of pushed to the side, but I like that they've brought it back, and I like that the clones are a little confused about it, because newer fans who might not be as familiar with the prequels and have just watched the animated shows and the newer films, they won't know what an M-count is. They won't be as familiar with it necessarily. And it was just, it's nice that we're seeing the characters starting to put the pieces together, because it helps, it gives us some forward thrust in the narrative finally, because, you know, there has been that kind of thing of, we know certain things the other characters don't. So it's nice that they're catching up to us a little bit. And that makes me think that maybe this is where Ventress will enter the fray, is because that, you know, we kind of need a Force-sensitive individual to explain Metachlorians in a sense to Omega and the Batch, and who better to do that than Ventress at the moment? It would be cool to get an unorthodox explanation from a very unorthodox Force user. Like,
you know who else is a very unorthodox Force user?
Quinlan Vos.
Yeah.
Just give it to us. Just give it to us, please. If we're getting one, we need the other. But around this same time, Crosshair notices that they have one of the assassin clones in captivity. She's like, we need to leave. Like he immediately knows this is bad news because he knows they'll track him. And then the clone is like, you should be asking him the questions. And then Crosshair kind of drops the bombshell that the Empire was trying to make him into one of the assassin clones. And he's like, it didn't work. And he's like, oh, I'm just always defective.
Being defective is in my nature. Which I love that call back to the line that Tech said about him in the season one finale, when he said, when he basically told Wrecker to just leave it and said, Crosshair has always been severe and unyielding. It's in his nature. Like, it's just such a great line from Tech. Like, all the season one stuff with Tech hits differently now.
Yeah.
But, yeah. It was a really good moment of tension, and I liked that the assassin clone immediately started gaslighting Crosshair, like, the minute he saw him. Like, that dude has kept his mouth shut the whole time, and then immediately, when he sees an opportunity for trouble, he takes it. But, you know, not that it did him much good. Dead.
Yeah, no. Yeah, like, right before this, like, a couple scenes beforehand, we see Scorch talking to CX-2, the other assassin clone, sending him on the way to take out the target. And then as he arrives on the planet, he sees Omega there, and boom, we call in another clone squad, which as
the hesitation.
Just a little bit.
Yeah. We'll come back to that.
Oh, no, 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 no. But we see, then shit starts going down. We see the assassin clones start taking out a lot of Rex's men. We see the base getting blown up. We see a lot of explosions, which is where we lose some of our favorite new clones.
Fireball. RIP, guys. Like, poor Fireball. He had a flamethrower. It's like, oh yeah, we're gonna give Fireball a flamethrower, but you're not gonna like the scene it's in, because it's like, not only does he get shot, he then has to torch the thermal detonators accidentally. I was like, oh, well, maybe he'll be okay. And then the thermal detonators like roll to the ground, and I was like, yeah, oh, no, he's dead. No. Yeah, no,
he's dead. Yeah,
he's not gonna be okay.
But I thought the whole shootout was like really cool, and there was a lot of tension to it, and I love the fact that later when they're like, is there another way out? It's like, there's always another way out, like with Rex. I just thought that was really cool. But we then get a glimpse of who the retrieval team from the Empire is led by. And finally, he's here. It's none other than Commander Wolf. We were wondering, we knew he was in the trailers. We were wondering when he was going to show up, because he's obviously there with Rex and Gregor when we see them in Rebels. So we know that something's got to happen to bring him with those guys. And as a result, something has to happen for them to be out of the fight like they were. But we get our first glimpses of Wolf in the Batch, and I really like where they have his character in this arc, where he's still with the Empire, but he's like kind of in the Cody situation.
Yeah.
Where he's like, he's there, like he's following orders, but we do see, like, when we see that great conversation and that great scene with Rex and Wolf, we see that he still has his loyalty at the end of the day, above all, is still to his brothers. It's still to the clones. which is a similar spot where we saw Cody. Cody, I think, was more disillusioned and reawoken to what the Empire thinks about the clones than where Wolf is in this episode. But I think it's the beginning of that. And it's nice to see more mirrors of what Crosshair went through in the first two seasons. Of we see Cody and we see him try to talk sense into Crosshair. Doesn't work. We saw with the Batch in season one, he still wants to stay with the Empire. And then when he has that moment with Mayday and he sees firsthand what the Empire truly thinks of him and his brothers, that's when he's very big on loyalty. And there's a great line when he's talking to Hauser later of how much he values loyalty. And when he realized the Empire didn't return the favor, it was a big wake up call for him. And
yeah,
we see loyalty has been such a big crux of Crosshair's character, almost to a,
to his detriment.
Yeah. Because he's so blinded by it at first, like, cause he felt the Empire was loyal to him, but there's a difference between being loyal to an institution and being loyal to your friends, your family, your brothers, which is what Crosshair finally saw the light. And I think we're getting that with Wolf. It would have been very satisfying to see them all just drop their weapons and leave with Rex's crew. But I think we're getting there later, because we're definitely setting up more with the clones and more as we get further towards them going back to Tantus and trying to break out their brothers. Because I think the end of this two-parter makes me think that that's going to be the big end game for this season, is we're going to be going back to Tantus, and whether or not I think it's going to be half successful, half not, because I think they're going to stop whatever cloning process is going on there, because obviously we know it doesn't work, but I think also it's going to really severely hinder the clone troopers for a while. And something's definitely going to happen with Rex to get him out of the fight, and whether or not
that's related to... Yeah, knock the fight out of him for a bit, yeah.
Yep, whether it's related to CX2 or not, we shall see. But when we go into Extraction, like we said, the way that they were able to escape and they got on the one ship, and as they're going, and then CX2 comes in and immediately just shoots the ship down. It's like, ah, shit, like this guy again.
But yeah, he won't quit.
He will not persistent. Quit.
It's almost like he's got like a strange personal like reason to like go after them that he doesn't quite understand himself.
Maybe. We'll see. I don't know what you're referring to. but before that, as he's like kind of chasing the Batch down, Crosshair just kind of goes after him himself. And there's that great moment where Crosshair is trying to take him out, but of course he's still struggling with the aim right now. So instead he's like, fuck it, I'm just going to throw a bomb at you. And it was just a great little moment there. It was like how he's slowly but surely adapting to his new surroundings, his new situation.
Yeah.
New way of going through things, which I think is awesome. And we see that later on of them specifically going at it, Crosshair and the assassin clone. It's like, you could have been one of us. Boom.
Interesting line. That's all I'm going to say.
Very interesting line. But then it becomes really a chase between they're trying to get to the rendezvous point where they can meet back up with Echo and Gregor. And while they're being pursued by Wolf's forces and the assassin clone, and Wolf kind of gives them the strict orders, and he just goes rogue. He's doing his own thing. He doesn't care, which you're right. He does have what seems like a very personal vendetta to get this target and do go after this specific group of clones, which could mean several things, which we can get into as we get. Let's just do it now. Let's play everyone's favorite game. Who is CX2? The big talking point this week has been who is this guy? Because they've definitely set it up to where if it's just a regular reg, we're gonna be like, well, that's kind of a letdown.
This is not another Marek situation for sure, because like I kind of always like when Ahsoka started and they introduced Marek, I kind of started to get the feeling a couple episodes in he wasn't gonna be anyone special. He was gonna be kind of an ascended extra because the way he was included in the narrative, he was coded as a henchman. Whereas this clone, this CX2, he is very much coded as a kind of recurring antagonist. He frequently goes against like the orders of Wolf and the other stormtroopers to like engage with the Bad Batch. He has these personal fights with Crosshair, these interactions that set him apart. They even like make a point of demonstrating that he's a lot more capable than the other CX clones that we see. Like the one who appears at the start of this two-parter gives the clone some trouble, but then Rex immediately takes that guy out. Well, it was Hauser who took him out, sorry, specifically, but Rex and the other clones are able to counter this guy. It's actually this CX2 that gives them the most trouble. And so that kind of is where my theory kind of comes in, is that, I mean, it's not an original theory. It's kind of a swing for the fences, if I'm being honest, but I'm going to say it. I think CX2 is Tech. I think Tech is still alive, damn it. And he was retrieved by the Empire and brainwashed into becoming one of these CX clones. And it's there's a number of reasons that I think this could be the case, where it's like there is the moment of him, like there's the fact that he survives a great fall at the end of the episode after his tussle with Crosshair, which is interesting. When he pulls himself onto the bank, it's visually very strikingly similar to the shot of Tech in the season 2 episode where he and Omega bond in the cave, like when it, him slumping onto the beach, the shoreline.
Yeah.
There's also his shoulder pad as well. And that's one of the main things, aside from the line he says later on to Crosshair. He has this shoulder pad that he interacts with, and he has kind of this, not symbiotic, but very kind of like, he's very attached to his ship. And in a way that Tech kind of was with the Bad Batch's shuttle, you know, and he's very reliant on this shoulder pad that he uses to like key in like all these commands to the shuttle and like his technology and stuff, you know, to the point where like he seems annoyed that when it fritzes out. And like, finally, I will add in the line that you said earlier when he fights Crosshair one-on-one, CX2 said, "You had your chance to be one of us." Now, like that on the surface level, that's like, obviously, oh, you had your chance to be part of this group of clones. But when you actually look at it thematically, considering that this whole two-parter, one of the main narratives we get is Crosshair having to prove himself to the Regs and to the Bad Batch that he can be part of that group again. It's kind of interesting that this guy says, "You had your chance to be one of us." It's almost like it's Tech saying to Crosshair, "You had your chance to be part of the Bad Batch, and you Ooh. Failed." Yeah, because they did give him the chance to come back, and he rejected them in favor of the Empire. So thematically, that would be an interesting line. I could be very wrong. They could go with Cody or someone else. I just think, if it's going to be a big reveal, like a Darth Vader or like a Triller reveal in Jedi Fallen Order, those reveals work generally because the character being revealed has a personal connection to the main characters. And as much as I love Cody and the other clones and stuff like that, they don't have the connection to the Bad Batch the way that Tech does. So I feel like if it's Tech, it's the maximum emotional impact, and it gives some personal stakes potentially to the finale.
So
I'm stopping for breath.
Yeah. So I'm with you on the fact that they would definitely have the personal aspect of it, and it would make things heavy. Like, we can't take him out because that's our brother. We thought he was dead. And it could, as I jokingly stated last episode, it could be a very Bucky, who the hell's Bucky kind of scene, where maybe he doesn't know who he was before.
Very Winter Soldier coded. So mm-hmm. much of his like actions and stuff feels very Winter Soldier. He's very silent. There's kind of like a sense of recognition. Like we said, when he is like training the thing on Omega to track her, there's a moment of hesitation, almost like he recognizes her. Mm-hmm. And that was when I first started to go, oh wait, this really could be Tech. Like, I thought it was like, I remember like when we were doing this at the start, it felt very kind of like knowingly like deranged fan theory that we were coming up with, whereas like now there's some legs to this. Yeah. So that it's becoming increasingly plausible that it could be Tech.
I think so. I think Eli's pitch of it being Emery is very, it's like a very distant like fourth in my mind. Yeah. Of like, it would be cool to see. I don't think they're going to go that route. Cody, I think, is what I would prefer over the two because there is that connection. It would be, it would definitely give Rex that big stakes of, oh, I can't, I, that's my best friend, I can't take him out. And then that could very much hinder the overall huge clone rebellion, not just the batch. What I am leaning towards the most, and I think this makes sense for why we're seeing him and Crosshair go hand in hand, is I think it's a clone of Crosshair. And maybe there's some of Tech in there, and maybe he's an amalgamation of all the batch. But I think it's like, oh, it didn't work for Crosshair, so let's just make Crosshair ourselves, but make him stronger. I think that would be very interesting. And yes, it's going very into like, ooh, Crosshair, like, you know, we have like, evil Crosshair. Like,
damn it, I should have thought of that joke. Damn,
if we're going very cloning heavy, I can see that being an option. I think Tech has, it's got a very strong chance of it being Tech. I just, as much as I would like to see him back, I think it would very much sacrifice that moment of him. Like, it's up there with the Kanan sacrifice for me. Like, not as emotionally like, oh my fucking God, I'm going to be crying for the rest of my life kind of way, but just in the way that things go wrong, so wrong to the point where they have to lose one of their brothers, I kind of don't want to erase that moment. And as much as it would be cool to have that final moment of all them all together again at the end of the series, if we even get that, I want to go in a different route. And yeah, like I'm not even fully on board with the clone thing, but I think it would make sense about why it's specifically him and Crosshair going at it repeatedly. And that's where I think I'm landing right now. But I think Cody is a distant a close second of what I think. And then Tech is probably who it's going to be. But I don't like that right now. I'm not a fan of it. So I'm gonna say it's Cody or a clone.
I do trust Brad and Jennifer to earn this kind of resurrection, really, yeah, with Tech, because they have like, when it's come down to like some of the riskier creative decisions in the show, I feel like the creative team have consistently kind of paid off with stuff. Like even episodes that we didn't like, they've gone back and kind of gone, actually, these were kind of important. Here we are. We're going to follow on from this we're going to pick up on that thread. I think that Tech, they could make Tech coming back from the dead work, depending on how the programming works, they choose to, like, you know, bring him back if he gets fully deprogrammed, or if it's kind of like a Jean Grey X-Men The Last Stand kind of thing, which I would hate personally. I hope they don't do that. I hope if you're going to do it, then commit all the way to it personally. But there's a bunch of different angles they could take with this. Cody would be interesting as well. It would definitely recenter the narrative more onto Rex instead of the Bad Batch. They kind of would wind up being supporting players in comparison, unless it's a very Crosshair-centric thing. But I think whoever this clone turns out to be, it's going to be very interesting, yeah, for sure.
And for just real quickly to go a bit further on the Crosshair side of it, it's like you see a big, like, visual and physical representation of what he left behind, what he fought so hard to, like, get rid of, that blind imperial loyalty, this just blindly loyal soldier to the Empire, as he's back with his brothers, and it's like, well, he's seeing the ghost of his past, literally, in a stronger version of him. It's also very Logan-esque with Logan and the
X-24.
Yeah. So, I mean, let's just hope it doesn't end with Crosshair killing the real one, or I'll fucking die.
Yeah, and then Omega just like shoots Crosshair through the head with her nifty new crossbow.
I'm fine with that. Let's just start with that.
Yeah, let's just have that bit and not the stuff that happens beforehand.
But to go back to Omega and Crosshair, we alluded to Hauser's and his conversation later, but I love the fact that what gets him to start trusting him more is he notices how he's acting and how he interacts with Omega. And I think it, leading to that moment, like the beautifully earned moment when they have the really awesome fight between Crosshair and CX2 over the waterfall. And as Crosshair is being drowned, who's there to save him? Not one of the batch, but Hauser. I thought, like, that's just, I loved that decision there. Because, yes, it could have been Hunter kind of repaying him for what we saw last episode or last week with the return when Crosshair saved Hunter. But I think the decision to make it Hauser and show, okay, well, now the other clones are trusting him now. And I think that was our visual representation of, okay, like, we can trust this guy now. He's fully back. We don't need to worry about all this increased tension between them. And I thought that was a great little moment there. But that waterfall fight was sick. Like, there were points where I was like, well, I know he's not dying. But, like, could you imagine if he does?
Yeah, like, I honestly will say that about this whole two-parter. It's the most tense I have been all season. And it's not to knock the other episodes. The other episodes have been really good. But the tension in this episode was great. And it helped that because these clones are on their last legs, essentially, even though they're a strong resistance currently, when you lose one of the clones, you feel the loss. You feel the danger in this. And I think they're very clever, the writers, in how that they're grading the different levels of threat. We've got the DK troopers, who aren't a huge threat. The main threat is coming in the form of these assassin clones, and especially CX2 and the other regs, who are like kind of still on the side of the Empire, marginally so. But it was just a really good episode, and pair of episodes, and that whole fight, like you said, is really cool. I love that Crosshair was essentially like, he was kind of went through a baptism almost of like being plunged into the water, and then he emerges a new clone once steps in to save him. It was just great. Exactly. Great arc for Hauser. I love that Hauser is getting like such character development in the show. He's an original character that's come from this series, and I love that they've kept investing new growth in him. I'm very worried about where he's headed.
Let me just say, I'm very glad he made it out of these episodes alive, because we lost pretty much every other of the newer clones in this episode.
He was the only other clone that made it out there, apart from Rex. Literally, they've literally lost everyone else in that resistance.
Which is kind of shocking about his fate at the end of the season. But the fact that he's still here now, I like. And when
he could go out like heavy.
Yeah.
Like, he could get a heavy death. Maybe he blows up part of Tantus or whatever and covers everyone else. That could happen. Like, I could see that for Hauser.
Yeah. I can actually see him kind of going up to 11 is a moment with Crosshair in this episode, and that being his last act is saving his ass, which...
Ooh, that would be good. I would like that.
Like, from the beginning, like Ryloth to now, that would be a great ending for him. But speaking of great endings, the way this episode ended was great, because we talked about that Wolf conversation, but the fact that they just immediately like recognize each other, and Wolf was like, I thought you were dead. And then they have this conversation, and they like slowly wake him up to the fact that the Empire is doing these tests on the clones. It's like, oh, they wouldn't do that. And it's like, we have two people that escaped from it right here, and they can tell you otherwise.
Boy, do they have a story to tell you.
Mm-hmm. It's like, assassin clone came from?
I really liked the way Wolf was kind of portrayed in this. I love that they gave him this introduction. I think seeing him and Rex in their armor together, it reminded me so much of it really felt like, in a way, Rex is Wolf is the Shadow the Hedgehog of all the clones, like, because Rex is the blue one, and you've got Wolf, who's like the edgier looking, like darker one. And I think it's interesting that out of all the clones, he's still very much in his armor. It's very pristine. He's the one who's gone through the least alteration. Even Cody went through a color change to be part of the Empire. Wolf looks the same. He's the one who seems to have emerged the most unscathed from the transition, which is interesting. I think that there's a very big possibility he might not even defect this season, or like the way he chooses to leave the Empire it might not even be like a defection necessarily, because he still kind of got some loyal. Oh no, see, I was about to say that he still got some loyalty to the Empire, but see, that kind of leads me into another hypothesis where he's probably going to get taken to Tantis after this, because he has disobeyed orders to bring them in. And which does give me hope, though, for like, if CX2 turns out to be tech, that does give me some hope, because maybe that's what the idea is behind him calling the Empire in Rebels, and why he's got that weird kind of loyalty, and he seems a little confused in Rebels, like Rex has to kind of remind him of things, you know, he's going around going, rah, 99, nice touch, all that kind of stuff. But I think you could explain that away by him being taken to Tantis and partially brainwashed to be an assassin clone, and they have to sort of deprogram him. Maybe that's the real reason that Rex stops fighting. He has to like sort of look after Wolf and deprogram him like gradually.
I didn't even think of that.
It just occurred to me now that that's maybe what happened, because I was going to say that might be an ending for the Bad Batch, where like maybe they save Tech and they all manage to find some place quiet and they spend time deprogramming him. But that could be what happens with Wolf and Rex, and that's why him and Gregor are like off on that ATTE, and why it would kind of give new significance to Wolf eventually kind of shaking it off and becoming part of the Rebels and helping out in the finale. That would kind of like make Rebels a lot stronger, which I would like.
I definitely think we're going to get more connections connecting future further in the timeline to Rebels, because we keep having all these Clone Wars connections, but the only Rebels one we've really had so far off the top of my head is the Hera stuff. So to see more of them going forward, I obviously think we're going to get more than that. We got to know why Rex is where he is at the beginning of Rebels, and we're getting more and more of the political side, which I really like, just from those little opening scenes. Although I worry very much for Senator Tucci. I'm a little worried.
I was worried for the whole start of this episode. Her and Senator Singh, I'm amazed that Rex like saved them both. But you know, again, he is the man. He is the clone dude. He is clone Jesus.
Yep. But they're like, again, I think it was just a great moment where they have that loyalty still for their brothers, and they let them leave. It's like, Sarah, are we gonna do anything? He's like, no, let them leave. And then we end the episode kind of like going to where the next part of this season is going, where Rex is like, why is Omega so important to the Empire? Like, we can't just have you going off doing your own thing. Like, we need to find out why she is so important. And I'm very intrigued about where this is going.
That makes me wonder if Rex and Hauser are just going to be part of the cast going forward, given that they don't really have anywhere else to go. Like, maybe the next episode is going to be where they go to Pabu, and that's when we have the Empire track them there. Like, that could happen. I could see them going for the pain straight away. That would be a hell of a way to open the second half of the season. But yeah, no,
might be right, because the name of this week's episode is Bad Territory, and that it's got me a little scared. What's happening there? What is happening there? Let's pray for the best. But I thought this was a really strong two-parter. I like that we're having a couple of them this season. I noticed just looking at the episode list, we have in 2 weeks there's another two-parter, and then we have the finale, which I'm hoping is going to be a double-length episode. That would be just really sick to get that at the end. But I am very worried about, like, not like quality-wise, but like very worried for what's going to happen to a lot of these characters going forward. I think, like, Extraction to me was definitely my favorite of the two. I think Infiltration was a really good episode, but might have been, like, I guess by default, the weakest of the season for me.
Yeah.
But I still thought it was a really strong two-parter, and I'm very intrigued about where this is going. The CX2 mystery, what further questions are going to be answered about Omega. And it's been a couple episodes since we've gotten Hemlock directly, so I feel like he's going to be coming back very soon with a vengeance, and I am terrified for what is going to happen there.
I have to agree with you. I think Extraction is probably my favorite of the two. I think Infiltration was a lot of setup, which was really cool, but I think Extraction's the better episode because it has a lot of the payoff and it's got some truly great one-on-one fight scenes. And as we said, that ending sequence with the standoff between Rex and Wolf, and just the way it's shot is great. I love the way that the Bad Batch team, they really enjoy doing those kind of like standoff visitors with like the lighting and everything, and the way that both sides were kind of framed by the light of the ships. It was great. I loved it. I'm definitely worried for like the return of Hemlock and like more.
Oh boy.
Yeah. That's going to be very interesting. Yeah.
Yep. So I think that's where we're going to wrap things up, a little shorter this week, but there was just a lot to talk about still regardless. Thank you guys for joining us. Next time we will be talking about, like we said, Bad Territory, which is the 8th episode of the season. Can't believe we're at the halfway point already. It's going by super fast. I don't like it, but the season's been like, great so far.
It's Obi-Wan all over again. It's like we're halfway through already. Like, how is that even possible? It's crazy. I know why it's possible, but it's still...
Like, because Kenobi had the 3 episodes in like 4 days thing. It was just like, we're already here? Like, that's crazy. Before we get into the plugs at the end of the episode, I do have something very fun that I would like to announce. We've been hinting at this and putting it together behind the scenes for the past couple weeks, but it's finally time for me to announce this. March Madness is about to start. Everyone is probably filling out their brackets, but there's another bracket that you can fill out because For the Republic is doing our own little spin on it. We are presenting Glup Madness. I don't have a graphic ready for it yet, but I will when the episode posts. So there it is right there. You're going to have
32. Drink it in.
Drink it in. We can't see it yet. I don't even know what it looks like yet, but there it is. We're going to have 32 Glup Shittos competing in a single elimination tournament voted on by you, the viewers. This is going to be taking place on our social media. So follow us at For the Repub Pod on Twitter and on Instagram and TikTok at For the Republic Pod, where you can see the brackets. My goal is we're going to have them announced and ready to go by next week's Bad Batch recap. And then we will start them. We'll do a whole segment related to it on the pod. And then we'll start them on social media, do a couple different matchups a week, and go from there until probably the middle of April, I would think. But the twist with this is we're not just going with, you know, trademark Glup Shittos. The twist with this is every single Glup in this tournament has been submitted by a member of the Star Wars fan community and the listeners and friends of the show. So if you have not submitted an entrant to this tournament yet and you want to, DM me or Don, wherever you can contact us, at Starlight Andrew for me on Twitter, at Donovan Mead for him on Twitter, and Connor as well, at Deppa Banana. You can message us who you want your rep to be. I believe I have 8 spots left in the tournament, so I'm hoping to have it ready to go by the end of the week. So please let me know if you want one a spot in the tournament, and we will add you to it. And then I'm hoping by next episode, we will have the full bracket ready to reveal, and we will give our predictions on who we think might win the whole damn thing. I came up with this idea last month, and I thought having the community spin on it would be a really fun way to do things, because now everyone has a stake in it. They want their Glup to win, and we're going to see what happens there. There's that. I'm glad to finally announce it. As for yourself, Don, where can everyone find you on the interwebs?
Well, as you just said, Andrew, they can find me on Twitter at Donovan Mead, where I post a bunch of different stuff about, like, you know, Star Wars, Baldur's Gate, the like. You can find me on TikTok at Donovan McComish. I recently just uploaded a TikTok about the Battlefront Classic Collection, which, you know, I have some reservations about, given some stuff that's come to light. I have enjoyed like diving back into it and just like playing it, some stuff. But yeah, there's definitely some points of contention I have like going forward, but that's another show. Instagram, you can find me at Donovan_McComish, Threads at Donovan_McComish, and Blue Sky at DonovanMcComish.bsky.social. I am also a question writer for Star Wars Inner Galaxy Epic Confrontations. We, alongside Eli and Connor, we recently had a match with Claire Stribling from Imperial Senate Pod and Michael Modello. You know, you can check it out on our, on the YouTube page, Star Wars Inner Galaxy. It's just, yeah, it's really, it's been really cool seeing all the different matchups. We've got some really cool ones coming up in the future. And along with Andrew and Connor, I am also a writer for SWEF, which is Star Wars Editor Fiction. We have write a bunch of articles about Star Wars, and more recently we've been working on a bunch of interconnected short stories that take place within the canon of Star Wars. We try to adhere to what is like canon currently since the Disney buyout, but we will also like add our own things and maybe cherry pick a few elements of Legends if we feel it can fit in the story. I have written one storyline currently that came out in June 2022. It is called Scars of War. It takes place shortly after, well, a few years after Revenge of the Sith, and it stars a clone trooper named Blister who defected from the Empire. And after living a peaceful-ish life on the outer rim world of Kivo, he encounters a Jedi survivor of Order 66. And basically, it's about them dealing with the fallout from that horrific event. So if you like Star Wars and pain, trauma, PTSD, that kind of thing, give it a read.
Yeah, so much of it, and it's great. As for myself, as I mentioned earlier, you can find me on Twitter at Starlight Andrew. Also, TikTok and Instagram, same handle at Starlight Andrew. The podcast on Twitter at For the Repub Pod, Instagram and TikTok at For the Republic Pod. You can subscribe to our YouTube channel, For the Republic Podcast, and check us out on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, wherever you listen to your podcast. You can find us there. And also the StarlightJournal.blog. I had a piece about Dune 2 last week. Because what a shock. I'm obsessed right now, as you can probably tell by the last couple episodes. And I am currently about halfway through my much belated best of 2023 list for the films I saw last year. I'm doing a top 20 because I couldn't narrow it down to 10. Hopefully we'll have that out within the next couple days, if not the end of the week. So look forward to that. Look forward to our next recap for the Bad Batch later on in the week. We'll give you more updates on our socials. And as always, we'll see you later. And may the Force be with you. Always.